Shalom and welcome to this portion about the new moons, the keeping of new moons. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And Yahweh said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That's Genesis 1:14. Signs, seasons, days, and years. Also, you can see Ecclesiastes 1:6. The dates in Yahweh's timepiece, the moons, reconcile precisely with his solar year of 12 or 13 months. More accurately, there is no formula. There isn't a formula for the 13th month cycle. The scientific reckoning does say that each 19 years we have a 13-month cycle, or 13-month year, rather. But it would seem to be Yahweh's way, being the accurate way, wouldn't it? Looking at the signs, the seasons, days, and years, and looking at those lights in the firmament. That just tells us right there. We don't need the scientific reckoning necessarily here, although it can be a help to us. The internet can be a help as well, but it can hinder us in some in a couple of cases there. When the equinox is noted, the first equinox near the time of the new year, the end of winter, the beginning of summer, there's only two seasons in Yahweh's timepiece. So when the that so-called spring equinox is noted, the first crescent new moon after the equinox begins the scriptural new year. See the article entitled Tikva or Equinox, and that will tell us about the how the new year is reckoned there from the equinox, and why it's not the one closest, the new moon closest, but it's the one after the equinox, and the term Tikva referring to the turn of the year, when the sun would turn, as it were. The very best website to check out for the new moon is that it is truthofyahweh.org and then /moon. It is not idolatry to look at the new moon. It's any more than it is idolatry to look at the sun or some of the stars. If we were to observe some of the stars and we were, say, a mariner, we needed to navigate and use the stars, it would not be idolatry to do that. Neither is it idolatry to look up in the horizon for the new crescent of the new moon that appears on the horizon at sunset. And that happens once a month. Okay, so some bring up all these objections. They're drawing straws, just silly things about that. Okay, so then we need to get back to my article here on Yahweh, not Yahweh. And I'll find it here in a second. Sorry about the pause here. There are few commands in the first five books of Scripture in the Torah about keeping the new moons, but there is enough evidence. Man is to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Matthew 4:4. And Deuteronomy 8, and Luke 4:4. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from Yahweh's mouth. So we can go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Exodus or Shemot chapter 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Mitzrayim or Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, it doesn't specifically say how to reckon the new year and the new month and everything. And it's not some kind of a secret, mysterious law that only certain people like the sages or the Jews know. No, it's simply by observing Yahweh's signs and the lights in the heavens. That's how we do it. And some of the other scriptures here, Deuteronomy 16:1. Is another scripture here, so we'll go there. How about right now? And then Numbers 28 is my favorite one. But, okay, looks like maybe we'll get to Numbers first. numbers is coming up here. I'd rather not look it up on the internet. I like to do it. Make sure you get the word right out here and look it up. Numbers 28, 11, as we study about the new moons here a little bit. It might be best just to look at our website about the new moons. It'd be quicker to do that, but I love making an MP3 for you, this audio file as well, so that you could do that while your hands are not free. And you can just use headphones or a loudspeaker. Numbers 28:11, and in the beginnings of your months you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh, 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without spot. And, okay, 10 verse 10, Numbers 10, verse 10, but we read there, in the beginnings of your months. So, obviously, there is a beginning of months, or a new year, Yahweh tells us. And we go back to chapter 10, for verse 10. Now, I know you're going to ask, for those of you who don't keep the new moons or feasts, you're going to say, well, what about all those offerings and things? And that's addressed, too, here on the website, and I can do it briefly here in a moment, but Numbers 10:10, also in the Moeds, or the day, it says in English, also in the Moeds of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months. So in the feast days, the solemn days, the beginnings of your months, what should you do? You should blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the slaughter offerings of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before Yahweh. I am Yahweh, he says. And isn't that beautiful there? Okay. Let's go to one more then. At least one more. Oh, okay. No. Let's see. As we are in 28, did we read verse 14? We did not. Numbers 28:14. We already read a previous verse there. And their drink offering shall be half an hin of wine unto the bullock, and a third part of a hin unto the ram, and a fourth part of a hin unto a lamb. This is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. For those of you concerned about, well, what about all these slaughter offerings then of these lamb, these sheep, these bullocks and so forth? Shouldn't, if we're going to keep the new moon, shouldn't we also do the slaughter offerings? Well, Messiah is our offering for that. Some can go further and say, well, Messiah did away with everything then. You know, we don't have to do anything because Messiah did it all. That's the really a cheap way out, the lazy way out of things, and a very protesting way to do it. But and I know I'm criticizing people for doing that, with no apology, but the reason we do this is, it is in Hebrews chapter 9, in Hebrews 9 in the newer scriptures, where it specifically says that certain things were done away with. We also find in Jeremiah 7:22 will come up. 7:22 and 23 demonstrate that an added law of sin offerings came later. The added law of sin offerings, and that wasn't Yahweh's command to praise, but about sin offerings, which ended at the time of the exact time of Messiah's death. So I wanted to go to Hebrews 9 verse 8 for you quickly. I do have to kind of rattle through the pages here, and it takes me a moment or two, so I hope you don't mind. I kind of fill in as best as I can anyway with a few other words and ask Yahweh to bless it all if possible. Bless and protect us from any error. We all need to study for ourselves. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 9 says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Here it is, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But the Messiah being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, and this is to say not of this building, either by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. See, when he died on that tree at Calvary, and historically we know that's true, we know that thousands and millions of people have been murdered for believing that Messiah died on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago, so there must be something to it, that not only the testimony of those people, that was so, they were so bold and brave to to offer themselves up for a Messiah, especially if it were a lie or just something that was kind of iffy. But in the first place, why would their persecutors take it upon themselves to do that to all those people, to persecute them and to murder them and take away their homes and stuff if there wasn't anything to it in the first place? So that helps prove these things here. If we don't have out and out faith, it just comes to us out of the wall, or you know, or the Spirit just speaking directly to us, then you know, why not the testimony of the saints and those that died and were murdered? But neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once, not every Sunday morning, but once into the holy, the separated place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So forget the blood of goats and calves, and some people do still believe that there is going to be some kind of offering that will be made. But, well, I don't know. We're not going to address that right now. We certainly recognize the authority of all Scripture, Matthew 4:4. So we did Genesis 1:14. We went to Exodus 12. Then we never did get to Deuteronomy 16:1. Numbers 28, a direct command to praise him and make offerings in the beginnings of your months. We read Hebrews 9, verse 8. We referred to Jeremiah 7:22 about the added law that wasn't Yahweh's command to praise him, but the sin offerings, which ended with Messiah's death, with his death, burial, and resurrection. If you'd like me to read Deuteronomy 16, I can do that, and do real quickly here, hopefully. Usually pretty good in flipping here, and I've got the large print King James, and I do enjoy it. I have some messianic scriptures. I've got these scriptures by the ISR messianic people, but I just read the King James and then change the corrupted words like LORD. And that's a lot better. These scriptures, I'm sure, are from the Antioch Scrolls, not the Egyptian Scrolls. So I prefer the King James there. And it has the least amount of problems. Deuteronomy 16, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover unto Yahweh. For in the month of Aviv, Yahweh thy maker, not G-O-D, but thy Yahweh, brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Other than the term Aviv there, it doesn't say that we have to go out and observe a crop, you know, and travel to the chosen land, get a free plane ride there and have people pay us for it and go over there and buy some little plant in a store, if you know what I mean, to prove that the new year is coming. He said, you know, simply to observe his signs in the heavens and not some manipulated crop that some farmer could manipulate a crop out there in his field. A Jewish farmer might be able to do that and pull one over on us to make the year be earlier, or make it coincide with the rest of the churches in the world, the ecumenical movement and the RCC. Thank you, Yahweh. Isaiah 1:13. In another file, we read Isaiah chapter 1. So, but they were not keeping Yahweh's new moons properly. They were not keeping his feasts, his Sabbath days, but their own way of doing things. And just like today, they kept it, but they kept it with the wrong spirit. They were probably keeping them on the right day. Isaiah 66, from one Sabbath to another and one new moon to another, we can come to praise the King of Kings. So he says from one new moon to another, so that's 12 new moons a year, or maybe even 13. And from one Sabbath day, there's 52, well, I'm not sure, 50 or 52 Sabbath days as well. Maybe there's more than that. So there are many opportunities than just once per week to study, pray, teach, and rub shoulders and get together with people, with both believers and those who are kind of on the fence and those who don't even care, but we're not going to be concerned about those ones. We're concerned with those who are trying to strive to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And we must strive to be like our Heavenly Father and read the Scriptures. 1 Chron 23, Verse 27, for the last words of David, the Levites, were numbered from 20 years old and above. That's what it says here in 1 Chron 23, 27 through 31. Okay. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of Yahweh in the courts and in the chambers and the purifying of all separated things and the work of the service of the house of Yahweh, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and that for that which is fried and for all manner of measures and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise Yahweh, and likewise at even. Actually, it should be the other way around. I think somebody, either a translator or a Jewish person or somebody, switched that around. It should say, and to stand every evening and likewise every morning to thank and praise Yahweh, because the evening starts the day. So you wouldn't, you kind of wind, oh well. And to offer all burnt offerings unto Yahweh in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feasts. So here, Sabbath days, and not just the Feast of Trumpets, but new moons, plural. And on the set feasts, plural. The set feasts, who sets them? This Moses, well, Yahweh, ultimately, had set them. And even actually kept before the time of Moses, by number, according to the order commanded unto them, continually before Yahweh, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and charge of the pure place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of Yahweh. So the main thing that we wanted to pick up in that passage was Sabbaths, new moons, set feasts, by number, the set feasts, and to praise Yahweh at evening and morning. Oh, I just love the morning time, don't you, for praising our Savior. It isn't bondage, or, well, maybe it was. Do you think that was a Jewish bondage, what we just read there? Yeah, right. I think it was. And, no, it was. Deuteronomy 16 shows the new moons are ordinances. We read there in verse 1. Jeremiah 31:35. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of the chosen people, with the house of Yehuda, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith Yahweh. Well, he's a husband to us now, to the house of the chosen ones. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the chosen. After those days, saith Yahweh, I'll put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, will be their mighty one, and they shall be my people. They shall no more every man his neighbor teach every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them. See, so we're already saved. We don't need to learn how to be saved. From the least of them unto the greatest, saith Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. A good thing he added that part. Thus Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, this is in Jeremiah 31, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of the chosen people also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. But we know that that will never happen, that they won't cease being a nation, because Yahweh said he's going to put us back together again. He's going to unite us, the northern tribe, along with the house of Yehuda, the north and the south tribes. But I am excited about those scriptures talking about praising Yahweh. Praising him in the new moons. Praise him every day, whether it's a Sabbath or not. Praise him all the time. Yay. Praise the mighty one. New Moons with Stefan Yah. Be right back. Shalom again, part two of the New Moons. This is Stefan Yah Eber, and I want to thank you for joining our website. The New Moons as solemnities. There were daily offerings, and on the New Moons, there were even more offerings on those New Moons. There were offerings every day of the year, but there were also more offerings on the New Moons than there were on the daily offerings. So Ezekiel 45:25 and Ezekiel 46:3 groups the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the feast days as solemnities. So it's very important, a very not only solemn time. It doesn't mean to just be very grave and boring and everything, but to be rejoicing as well and joyful. He groups the solemnities, including the new moons, all 12 or 13, though there were daily offerings, but more on the new moons. Ezekiel 46:3 is a direct call in the word to praise Yahweh, how we are excited to praise his name. But well, how about Psalm 104? Yeah, somebody wants to hear. I can just hear somebody out there saying, what did Ezekiel 46 verse 3 say? Because, you know, those praising, we just don't hear that enough. I used to be on a Christian radio station, and I got a real pickup every day as the morning man there reading those scriptures about praising Yahweh. I also put in there about the law, so they just about kicked me off the air. And I talked about the King James Version. I always wanted to use that, not these corrupt modern versions from Alexandria, Egypt. And, they had a real problem and wanted to get rid of me. So then after 6 years I left, I guess I just couldn't put up with there any longer. I should have just stayed there, huh? Let them deal with it some way or another. Chapter 46, verse 3, the direct call to praise Yahweh. Likewise, the people of the land shall praise him at the door of this gate before Yahweh, in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. And that refers back to Numbers 28:11. We could go on here. Talks about the solemn feasts. He that entereth in by the way of the north gate in praise shall go out by the way of the south gate. He that entereth by the way of the south goes forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. And that is apparently referring to the temple there and the new Jerusalem that we're going to be going to first, and the millennium, first 1,000 years there, the millennium. And the priest in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. And in the feasts and in the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock, and so forth. It shows the offerings that we no longer are obliged to do. Incidentally, that next chapter there talks about that last great day, the big feast, the last day after tabernacles. That's Ezekiel 47. But I don't want to burn up your player there with a lot of text. I'll move on to Psalm 104 then. Verse 19, which says, he appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. And then later in verse 30 and 31, just talks about praising Yahweh. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. And the esteem of Yahweh shall endure forever. Yahweh shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto Yahweh as long as I live. I will sing praise to my Yahweh while I have my being. We look on Yahweh and esteem him forever, and we shall rejoice in his works. Thank you especially, Yahweh, for the Sabbath days and new moons that are a refreshing break from the cacophony of the world, from all the noises out there and the pressures and the fighting and all of that. Psalm 81, verses 1 through 4, sing aloud unto Yahweh, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the mighty one of Yaakov. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery, and blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this, a statute for the mighty Hebrew nation, and a law of the mighty one of Yaakov, or G-O-D of Yaakov. Or Jacob, in other words. So, blow up the trumpet of the new moon here. Must be speaking about the Feast of Trumpets. But it's not always a new moon. Rather, a new moon always, of course, tells us when the seventh month is there, the Feast of Trumpets. I didn't mean that, but it doesn't always have to be the Feast of Trumpets to blow trumpets on every new moon, as we read earlier. I think it was in Numbers 10:10 where we did that. Psalm 42 is another beautiful song. but we do need to move on, and we're 10 minutes into the second portion about the new moons. So we do, unfortunately, we have to move on. But read Psalm 42 again, or if you've never done it. Amos 8:5. Okay, we'll turn ahead to chapter 8 there, in verse 5. And what does this do? It's a regulation about the Sabbath new moon, what we need to do. Saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that would be gone, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. And in verse 1 it said, behold, a basket of summer fruit. Nehemiah 10:33. Here on Yahweh, not Yahweh, for the showbread and the continual meat offering, for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the pure set apart things, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for the children of the Most High, and for all the work of the house of Yahweh. So most likely the new moons are to be upheld, similar to the non-high days of unleavened bread, the non-high days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those two feasts are 7 days long, and there's non-high days. There's only two high days, and I guess five that are not. And so the new moons are similar to that in upholding how the new moon is to be observed. In other words, we don't just ignore the fact that today is, for example, today is a new moon. We don't just, you know, get in the car and do our own pleasure and go shopping and go to work and go out in the garden and you know, forget Yahweh during the entire day. No, we make special preparations for him, and we set apart that day. But if something does need to be done, we go ahead and do it. So we should uphold the new moons as best as we can, and with the knowledge we have from the Word. Sorry about the voice here dropping, but it's late at night, and we've been under a little bit of pressure here, but with Yahweh's help, we'll get through here to the end. Colossians 2:16, and it says, in respect of the new moon. So why are new moons being mentioned 30 or 40 years after the resurrection of the Messiah? If the new moons were already done away with, it wouldn't even be mentioned. Same way in the book of Acts, it talks about the Feast of Atonement. Why would that be anything, a time marker? Yes, maybe, you know, you could say, well, the Jews kept it. Well, then, but I wouldn't use that as a marker if it was an abomination and it supposedly was done away with. So that's another proof that the new moons are to be kept. Colossians 2:16, in respect of the new moon and the Sabbath and the feast days and so on. And yes, they foreshadow something to come. It was kept by Jews and Gentiles. The strangers, the Gentiles, the strangers who are grafted into the good olive tree, into the Abahosha. So let the body of Messiah be the judge, it says in Colossians 2:17. But who is the judge? The body of Messiah, and not outsiders, as to the eating and drinking and the keeping of the new moons and the feast days. Luke 17:9-10. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do is all. You know, it's not good to just be driven by duty alone, but, you know, at the bare minimum, that's what we need to do, is at least do the bare duty and be an unprofitable servant. Then we need to go on, though, and press in harder for Yahweh, and by the Spirit, we want to keep these feast days. I know it's tough sometimes, you know, to, especially during the feast days, to take off from work and the Sabbath days. I've never had a good job ever since I kept the Sabbath, but did go skiing quite a bit. And that goes along with Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh. And this is just such a wonderful, great thing that we do, that we offer our bodies to him. No, it says it's only a reasonable service. We're just unprofitable servants. Also, it says the same thing there in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. and probably 1 Cor 6:20, 1 Corinthians 6:20 there. So that's just about it. We've done all we can to explain what others, that we believe others have not done. They left undone the teaching about the law word and all the Psalms, prophets and letters. And even after we've kept Yahweh's new moons, we are still only unprofitable servants. What else can we do? We can keep his word, not just in letter alone, but be enabled by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and Yahweh will help us obey and help us to minister to him. He didn't give us his feasts and then not make it possible for us to keep them. He didn't give us his name and then it's impossible to know who he is, you know, how to say his name and how to print it, or give us some mysterious tracking system. So we believe when the moon is fresh that it is the new moon in the new crescent at sunset once a month. You'll just barely see a sliver there. It would be neat to make the full moon fall on the first high days. People like to do that, but then we would have to move the new moon back 3 or 4 days. That method may have merit, but there should be evidence of some Hebrew believers in the past who kept the moon in that sort of a fashion. The new moon is not reckoned by the full moon and then backing up 14 days or so, because it's said that it varies sometimes, and it's impossible to be that accurate and hit the center of the full moon and then be able to back up. That would be a kind of a crazy method anyway, wouldn't it? But anyway, it's a free country and everybody should be able to praise Yahweh according to his level that he's at and according to his conscience. So thank you for being with us, and I hope you'll be able to keep the next new moon. Look at that that website there. Here it is, thetruthofyahweh.org/moon. So Truth of Yahweh will get you there, and praise our Heavenly Father today, tonight, this morning, this afternoon, wherever you might be. And thank you for joining us once again, and Shalom.